Hello, and welcome to the Subconscious Coaching Podcast, the podcast where I talk about whatever I want, because it's my podcast and not yours. All right, welcome back. Let's talk about time. I'm just going to jump in where I left off on the last podcast. So we are going to go straight for it. I'll do a little bit of recapping what we learned last time, and then we're just going to go even deeper. So what I want to do is go through and do a thought model and just make it super simple how this thought, I'm not doing enough, is creating the experience and the results of not enough in your life. Okay. So the thing that I pointed out in last week's episode is that the thought I see subconsciously so often underneath there isn't enough time is I'm not doing enough, right? Because the reason we would want more time is to be able to do more things, okay? So that's always a symptom. There isn't enough time is always a symptom of I'm not doing enough, which at its core is a scarcity belief. And I talk a lot, especially in the 16 keys, a lot about like scarcity and abundance consciousness. And we do deep dives on them in pretty much everywhere. I actually just did this module on calls to action and how to create a call to action from abundance as opposed to scarcity, which like is blowing people's minds. It was so good. I was writing it and I was like, oh my God, yes. Like looking at some of my own old copy and I was like, oh, I can totally see where even in, you know, my most recent launches, like there'll be a moment where I shift into scarcity and I'm making my offers from a little bit of that energy. And the reason that's important and that scarcity and abundance is important at all is because anything we do in scarcity energy or from scarcity always creates less. Scarcity always creates the result of less. Less time, less energy, less results, less peace, less joy. Anything we do from abundance consciousness always creates more joy, more expansion, more money, more clients, okay? So it's very important, and it's not necessarily like on-off. Either you're completely in scarcity or you're completely in abundance. It's definitely a continuum, and so knowing where you are in that continuum and just working to cultivate 1% more of that abundance consciousness every day, it helps when it comes to creating more, because the consciousness with which we do things is what then creates the results of those actions, right? The underlying subconscious paradigms, some people call it, you know, our thoughts. Some people would phrase it as, you know, our thoughts create our results. But I believe even deeper than that, the subconscious consciousness that we're holding around something actually also deeply informs everything we do, from the way we talk to our body language to, you know, what we even think is possible, to our feelings, all of that. So when we're in this thought, I'm not doing enough, we are fundamentally in scarcity consciousness. And so when we think I'm not doing enough, what do? To try and solve for scarcity, well, we try and add more things into our calendar. And so we'll sneak an extra Instagram post in onto our roster, or we'll get a little free time and we'll reach back out to that friend and we'll book lunch and catch up. And we'll cram our schedules full, because even when every moment of our day is filled with action, our thought is still, I'm not doing enough. And the result is that we end up having so much to do on our calendars that we create the experience for ourselves of not being able to do them all, which then further becomes proof of the story of I'm not doing enough, right? We prove that thought true. And the result is that we experience time or ourselves as insufficient. And so what's interesting about the way this thought works, and I've seen it operate in people's lives, is it sort of becomes a fractal, or what I call, if you're familiar with the life coach school model, I call it like an infinite loop model, which means that the results of this thought, right, experiencing either myself or the amount of action I'm taking as insufficient or time is insufficient, the result of that thought triggers that same thought at another level, right? So when we put so much on our calendars that we can't get it done from the thought, I'm not doing it enough, and then we don't do it all, it triggers that same thought of I'm not doing enough. And then when we have that thought, the action we always take is trying to solve that thought by adding more things to do and trying to do more and telling ourselves that we should be doing more, which just creates the same result of having so much on our calendars that we can't get it all done. And then we have that experience over and over and over again. And so this model will just keep fractaling over and over and ingraining itself into your thinking until it just feels true, because you spent so long thinking that thought and experiencing the result of that thought that now that's just the primary fundamental lens through which you experience life. Okay? So, and the thing I want to bring it back to is it actually doesn't matter how much you do. Because the doing that you're doing when you're in this thought model is being driven by scarcity, which means it's always going to create less. There's actually no way to do enough, quote unquote, or create more from this thought. And there's no way to experience enoughness in what we've done while we're running this thought model. So it ends up creating this mental hamster wheel for our consciousness where we think the way off of the I'm not doing enough train is to do more, but that actually only keeps us stuck on the hamster wheel trying to run faster and faster. So the other thing we talked about in our last episode is, you know, who makes your schedule? You do. You write down and decide and put every single thing that's on your schedule on your schedule. And so, you know, recapping, your weekly schedule is not happening to you. You are literally creating it by what you say yes to and what you decide to do, by what you choose to take on and the expectations that you set for yourself. Or the expectations that you allow other people or society to set for you. But it always comes back to the truth that you choose every single thing that's on there. So if you're not liking your calendar, you have to come back to what is choosing your calendar, because it's likely a scarcity belief in your subconscious. Something like, if I don't do this, then I won't be a good enough mom. If I don't make it to, you know, this event, then I'm not a good friend. If I don't hit my revenue goal, I'm not a good enough entrepreneur, et cetera, et cetera. And so here's what I want to make sure you understand. I'm not saying don't strive for greatness and excellence. Absolutely do. But what I want to point out, and have you noticed, is that those thoughts I just mentioned, I won't be a good enough mom, I won't be a good enough friend, right? They have nothing to do with striving towards greatness. They're not moving towards or focused on or striving towards greatness. They're all desperately running from judgment and shame. And striving towards our personal best and running from our own self-judgment are two completely different directions, and they create two completely different results. When we're striving for greatness, it means we're actually in touch with our own power. It means we're identified as the conscious creators of our reality, including our schedules and including our experiences. It's an experience of play and expansion and creation, and it feels like that, right? This is totally different from trying to compensate for our scarcity thoughts by overaction. That's literally, I think, the definition of hustle. Like, hustle is the experience you have when you try to use your actions to outwork your disbelief. Hustle's when you're trying to frenetically hit your goals to escape your own shame or disappointment. If you have any energy to that comes up around not hitting your revenue goals for this year, then this is really the work that you must do, because that resistance to an imaginary future causes us to fear that suffering and then take action from a disempowered place, from a place of scarcity in the here and now. And what ends up happening is that dissonance of using your actions to try and outrun your disbelief only causes us to end up with less. We end up with less time with ourselves, less rest, less enjoyment of our lives, less time for what truly matters, less flow. I remember talking once to this coach who worked with corporate people, something along those lines. I don't know anything about the corporate world, but she worked in corporate, and she used to teach effective time management as a solution to burnout. And what she discovered is she would teach this workshop, and apparently it was an amazing workshop, right? The supervisors would rave, and she'd get these reports that their teams had cut the time needed to do their daily tasks in half, and they were using their time so effectively, and she just felt amazing. And so this team, this corporation, they booked her to come back and run it for the other departments. She was like, great. She was over the moon. Now, you would assume that the attendees of that workshop would go through it and they'd have all of this free time, right? But then the next quarter, when she came back and she ran the workshop again, she noticed a lot of the same people were back in it, and that they were making the exact same complaints. That there wasn't enough time to get it all done. That they were even more stressed out now. That they felt even more stretched too thin, and they were feeling even more overworked. And so for her, this was like super confusing. And she went and she talked to one of the previous attendees that she'd connected with the last time she was there. And when she really started digging into what was going on, she realized these people had used her time management tools to create all this extra time after doing the last workshop. And then they just crammed even more shit into that free time. Because fundamentally, time management wasn't the core of their burnout issue. It was this thought, I'm not doing enough. I need to be doing even more to get promoted. I'm not moving up the corporate ladder fast enough. I'm not where I want to be, right? All these thoughts were still running and creating their behavior of overfilling their calendars with action, except for now they just had tools to cram even more shit and try and do even more in a day, right? So the schedule was just a symptom of what was happening in their brain, and it was a symptom of their self-judgment around where they were versus where they thought they should be. So if your schedule is consistently overwhelming, I can almost guarantee you that there's a resistance to being where you currently are. And you're using action in order to try and run as fast as you can away from the current state of your life and your results right now. But here's what I want you to drop into, is that you can't shame your way into being proud of your business. You can't hate your way into a life that you love. You can't run away from your own thoughts. You can't action yourself into new thoughts. Because the thoughts that get you to whatever result you're wanting, the thoughts that you use to get yourself a result, those are the thoughts that you are practicing over and over and over again. And this means that when you arrive to that result, all you'll have done is reinforced those thoughts in your brain, reinforce those neural pathways, And those thoughts are only going to be stronger in your psyche, and you're just going to have the emotional experience of them even more intensely. So if you want to have a different experience of yourself or of your life, you have to begin practicing it and learning how to create results from that belief, not as access to getting that belief. If you're constantly creating from the belief that you want to have, then by the time that you actually create the result, that thought or that belief will feel so true that you'll be experiencing that. But if you create it in, if you're trying to create a result in opposition to thoughts that you don't want to have, to scarcity thoughts, and you're using those thoughts to fuel you, when you get where you're going, that scarcity is only going to be even deeper. So when the schedule thing pops up, I want you to think of it like a big flashing neon sign that you are running on unclean energetic fuel, that you're trying to get over there so that you don't have to be with who you are and how things are over here, right now. The overwhelming schedule is just a manifestation of the emotional layers and judgments that are there for you to uncover about your current state. And the reason why I feel really passionate about this is because I know it so intimately. This pattern is exactly why I am currently nursing and have so many physical sports injuries. Because I've gone to the gym and pushed myself so hard from a place of not being okay with where my body is now. And the result has been damaging my body as I try to sprint and get somewhere else so that I don't have to deal with all of my judgments and shame and dissatisfaction with my current body. And guess what? I used to be like almost 190 pounds of pure rippling muscle. Like I was totally shredded. And it was just so interesting because like at that point in my life, one of the first things that people would say when I was meeting them, they'd come up to me and they'd always make a comment. They'd be like, oh my God, you're really fit. You're really buff. Like my body used to draw a lot of attention. But regardless of what was happening in the external conversation, the thoughts that had been driving me to go to the gym were all founded in scarcity. They were, my body isn't good enough. I need a certain X kind of body in order to be loved. I need to gain 10 more pounds, right? And these were the thoughts that I would practice every single day and that were having me take action around my health and around working out. And I would look at bodybuilders every day before I went to the gym. I'd compare pictures of myself to them, and I felt like this was helping to motivate me, and, you know, because it would get me really fired up, and I'd, you know, feel this, like, almost desperation to get in the gym, and, you know, I'd be comparing myself side to side to these bodybuilders, and I'd be like, okay, this is so good because, you know, I'm really motivated to build the areas of my body where my muscular growth is, like, lagging. And now, looking back, it's like so obvious to me, right? Because I hit my first goal weight, right? I gained 30 pounds of muscle. I went from 145 to 175 of muscle. I hit my weight of 175 and I hated my body. And then I got to 180 and I still didn't feel good enough. And then 185 and eventually 190 pounds of pure shredded muscle. And my predominant thoughts of my body when I was that weight are, my calves are too small, I have skinny wrists, I wish my traps were bigger, I wish I had an 8-pack instead of a 6-pack, the guys that I want to date aren't going to notice me unless I gain another 10 pounds of muscle. They were literally the exact same thoughts that I'd gone into the muscle building and bodybuilding sphere with. Except now these thoughts were consuming me because I'd spent years practicing them and spent all of my time thinking them. And the result was that I was more insecure about my body then at 190 pounds of pure muscle than before I started bodybuilding. I was like in the mirror for hours a day critiquing muscles on my body that I didn't even know existed before I started bodybuilding. And I was going to the gym twice a day, sometimes like five or six times a week, trying so desperately to get out of my current body faster and faster because my resistance to the state of my body had only grown the more that I thought these thoughts. And that's what led me to blowing out my back and tearing ligaments in both my shoulders and giving myself tennis elbow in both elbows and tendonitis, right? What I did to my body and the way that I blew it out and abused it and pushed it too far, that's what a lot of us are doing to our minds. We're spraining our brains with overwhelm and cramming our schedules to the place where our nervous systems are shot. And it's the exact same thing. We're running away from the thought work about what is. We're trying to not have to be in the moment where we have to just be with ourselves as we are. We're trying to action our way into an acceptable version of ourselves, one that we can like, one that we can feel proud of. But the result we create when we're creating from those thoughts is always the opposite. Because whenever we're using this unclean fuel of shame or resistance to take action from, we're only going to experience more shame and resistance, no matter where we get. Because the thoughts we use to create a new result are the thoughts that ingrain themselves in our minds. And these thoughts will create our emotional experience when we get to the result we want. If we can even reach the results we want with them, right? Like, I could never attain the body that I quote unquote wanted, not just because my perfect body was like this constantly shifting target, but because the ligaments and cartilage of my body was literally being torn apart by my self-hatred, by my inability to be okay. And I see this happening constantly on some level for almost everyone I work with. And so if you know somewhere there's a piece of this resistance to who you are now, to loving and accepting yourself now, that is fueling you and fueling your action and fueling your goals, my invitation is to slow down. Stop and consider if you're trying to do in order to be enough. If you're trying to hit your goals to be enough, to show up at all the functions in order to be a good enough mom, right? Be a good enough partner, to have a good enough body. So many of us are in this model of do, have, be. We think if we do all of the things, we'll have the things that will allow us to be who we want to be. Right? So if I want to be a millionaire, I just have to do all of the things a millionaire would do, and then I'll have the $1 million, and then I'll be the millionaire. I'll feel abundant. I'll feel wealthy. But it doesn't work that way. We don't actually attain states of consciousness through our action. The most aligned way to get there is through the model of being, doing, and then having. Right? So from the consciousness of abundance, right? Being and inhabiting that millionaire self, right? I'm going to start thinking like a millionaire, investing like a millionaire, creating that business, but from this place of the consciousness of abundance, and it's already in my field, and that's going to subtly shift what I do, right? And when it shifts what I do, it'll shift what I have and what I create. And so realizing that our creative states come from our being and who we choose to be, we can see that we then have to cultivate our being in order to have something different, as opposed to focus on our doing to try and be and experience something different. Because what we experience is and create is always downstream of our identity and our being. So I just want to come back around and underline that the not enough time story only shows up when the conversation is being driven by enoughness. So if you and everything you do and everything you've accomplished was already enough and would be enough for the rest of your life, what more is there you need to desperately do? Right? All that's left is to pursue the things that feel fulfilling and enjoy the process of doing them at whatever speed and pace you create them at. So what if it takes you 7 months to hit a goal instead of six? It's just one more month of doing something you love, right? It's all about learning anyways. That's all we're ever doing. And sometimes we get so hung up on all of these goals and we forget that we're here because we love to learn and we're creators and we're artists. And so we're learning how to create things, yes, in certain specific amounts of time. But the way you learn how to create something in 6 months is by first learning how to create it in 12 months and then 9 months and then six, right? We start to rush only when we hang our worthiness on the goal. And when that happens, we lose the joy and the fulfillment inherent in the process. The thing blocking most of us from that joyful experience of being in the learning and taking action is what Carol Lowenthal calls these perfectionist fantasies, right? Which are idealized versions of ourselves that we compare ourselves to and then feel shit in comparison to, right? And what people will do is, instead of using coaching to aid them in loving themselves right where they're at and feeling sufficient and abundant right where they're at, sometimes we use it to try and become this perfectionist fantasy, but from a place of insufficiency about who we are right now. This has been the most powerful work for me, specifically around this very podcast. Okay, y'all? Like, this shows up for me a lot, everywhere in this podcast, because I went in expecting myself to do a consistent weekly podcasting without ever having recorded a podcast before in my life. And this is like a couple of years ago, and I gave myself no grace around it. And I literally did an episode like 2.5, maybe 3 years ago, and then I didn't do another one for a year. And I spent the whole year beating myself up for not posting one every week. And the shame just compounded into the point where I couldn't even think about showing up. But I also couldn't let go of this perfectionist fantasy of the version of me who shows up in podcasts every week. And it was so all or nothing. And I just kept using that against myself. And now I'm like, I've surrendered to my personal process of learning how to consistently podcast. And over the past 12 months, past year or so, I have close to 30 episodes that I've recorded, which I think is amazing. So much progress compared to the year before. But a huge part of that 30 episodes was like having to lower my expectations and be like, fuck it. I'm not going to have a pre-recorded intro or outro. I don't want to hire somebody and make this a fancy thing and have to have meetings with them and emails. Like, I'm just going to speak into any device that will record my voice and upload it as it is. No editing, all the ums and oops, nothing. I'm just going to ramble. I'm going to lose my train of thought. And however it comes out is going to be perfect. And by lowering the expectations for myself dramatically, funnily enough, I produced 30 podcasts, right? That's 29 times more than the year before. And so what I want to offer is the most useful thing to compare yourself, if you're gonna have to compare, is just compare yourself to where you were at last year. That's the most fair, honest, and accurate comparison that I think you can make. I don't have to compare myself to any of my idols and whatever they're doing and none of that, because there's so much I don't know, right? And the reason why I'm excited about the shift around my podcast is because by lowering my expectations, I actually went into abundance thinking, right? It's some level of like, this is perfect. This is exactly what it needs to be. This is more than enough, right? I lowered my resistance to what is and was able to just be in the abundance of that. And when you're in abundance thinking, you always create more. More time, more energy, more enjoyment, more certainty, more pride, more podcasts, more calm. And, you know, thinking about calm, one of the things my mentor Stacey Bayman says is the more calm I get, the more money I make. And I love that idea that it's actually this centered, grounded calmness that comes from being in abundance as opposed from the frenetic energy of the scarcity thinking. It's that calmness that creates that money, because that calm comes from abundance thinking. The more calm I get, the more money I make. So here's my invitation to you. If your business has grown, but now you feel like there isn't room to breathe or live or even enjoy your business anymore, my invitation to you is to go deep, because this is a symptom of the deeper relationship with yourself. And until you heal that relationship with yourself, you're going to keep recreating this experience for yourself. There's been two moments where I've had to really deeply do this work in my business. And what I can say from those two experiences is that the freedom you experience in your life on the other side of this work is transformative. This is the exact thing. Part of the reason I'm recording this podcast is because this is the exact thing that I'm helping three of my six-figure earners work on right now in the 16 Keys Mastermind. So if this is your work too, and you want the highest level support in creating a joyful business that is full of free time and flexible hours, and a business that gets to be structured around your life and your joy, a business that you enjoy being in, join the winter round of the 16 Keys. Enrollment dates are going to be announced soon. And so if you're all in on creating a business that makes your life feel more abundant, I want you to head over to my Instagram at The Subconscious Brand, click the link of my bio, and you'll get on the wait list to receive the announcement for the enrollment dates. All right, I'm looking forward to seeing many of you over there. I'd love to hear your thoughts, so feel free to shoot me a DM. Feel free to interact. The weirdest thing about the podcast to me is that there's no like comment section. We can't chit-chat back and forth, so feel free to leave comments on my posts or shoot me a DM and let me know what's been most helpful for you in creating that expansive, abundant experience that you want in your life and in your business. All right. Hope you have a beautiful day. I will talk to all of you very soon.